Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 31st of January, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul continued our series looking at Ezra with Time to Build. And the reading is Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 to 22. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday worship from Minehead Baptist Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us online for our service this morning. It's lovely to be with you and to worship with you. We have a few notices for the week. They are as per the notice sheet. If you didn't get the notice sheet, please let us know and we'll make sure you get a copy. And there are just a couple more notices to add. And they're as follows. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. we have a Monday Zoom prayer meeting. Details of the Zoom meeting, the passcode and the password have been sent out to you on an email earlier this morning. If you didn't get that and you'd like to join us in prayer, just let the office, the church office, know and we'll make sure we get those details to you tomorrow morning. And secondly, to say that you'd have heard the last couple of weeks that we are launching on the 14th of February, reading the Bible in a year, a challenge to us all, a 360-day Bible reading plan. This is it. We've produced it in a handy kind of Bible size format for those who can't get it online. This week you'll receive some information, an update from us, together with that reading plan as a PDF. If you would like a copy of this in paper form, can you let us know? If you can do that once you've received the email, that would be brilliant. If you don't normally get anything from us by way of email, we're going to try and make sure everybody who we would normally give a CD to or we would normally correspond by way of letter gets one of these as well. Because it's not a one thing, it's an us thing. And the reality is we want to make sure you have the tools in your hand by the 14th of February. So look out for that in the next week or so, and let us know, as I say, if you get it in PDF electronically, but you prefer to have it in paper, we'll make sure that we get a copy to you. It's amazing to meet with the Lord, and as we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to dedicate this day to the Lord before we come before him in worship. So please pray with me. Father God, we thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice in it with you. We praise your holy name. I pray that for all who listen, either on a CD or on to this service on Facebook, either live or later, that your Holy Spirit would come upon us all, rest on us, speak to us, challenge us, we pray, so that this day which you have made may be blessed because we encounter you. And for those who are listening or watching this service who have not yet made the decision that you are their Lord and Saviour, I pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon them and that you, Lord, would convict them of the reality of their need of you, that you are their Saviour God, that you're their Lord. And this morning, as they give their life to you, I pray you would enter them by the power of the Holy Spirit and be with them. And that verse in Revelation that says, "Hark, I knock at the door. If you open the door and invite me in, I will come and be with you." That though there may be some today who open their hearts to you and give their lives to you. For we declare again, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You find some amazing psalms, don't you? And the reality is that Psalm 100 is kind of a favourite. It's a favourite of many. The first three verses say this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his sheep. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." It reminded me that around this area, of course, we have the amazing Exmoor National Park. And there are probably many sheep. We could go up there today and see them and have that sense of viewing what Jesus himself saw as he tells the crowd of the Good Shepherd. But by the wonders of modern technology, we've put them, or rather Steve, thank you Steve, has put them, those pictures to a couple of songs we're going to use this morning. And the first one of those is And Can It Be? Then we're going to follow that by joining Roy and Jenny as they sing Lord of Lords. Those words, And Can It Be? Charles Wesley, when he sat down and he was thinking, how do I praise my Lord? Wrote what for many of us is a truth that sometimes we do ponder. And can it be that I should gain? So let's join Steve in worship and these amazing pictures of Exmoor, and remember the words of that psalm. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Father, we come this morning to worship you, to lay ourselves down before you. And Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your continued care and love for us, even in a world that seems so difficult. And Lord, we want to admit this morning of the times and that we go wrong. Father, we know that you forgive us through us, your Son, Lord. Father, let us be better examples of you, we pray. And Father, we want to pray for our own perseverance. In a difficult time, Lord, we pray that we would be able to continue, that we would know your love and support around us. Father, we know that we cannot do any of it without you. Father, in the week that we hear 100,000 people have died in Britain from coronavirus, Lord, we want to lift each and every one of them and their families to you. Father, we pray that they would know your love. That even if they don't know you personally, that they would know some sense of who you are. Father, we lift up to you this morning Joy Chattel, who's in hospital undergoing tests. Father, we pray for Malcolm, her husband, and her family, including Mary Johnson and her family, her daughter. Lord, be with them all, we pray. Guide the hearts and minds of those who are seeking to treat her. And Father, we continue to pray for our government and the governments around the world, Lord, as they continue to battle with these difficult decisions they have to make about vaccines and restrictions and all those different things. Lord, be with them, we pray. We thank you as well, Lord, that we know people in our own community have received the vaccine. Father, you have been good throughout everything we've been through. And we pray, Lord, for more of that goodness to overcome us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now Millie is going to come and speak to us.
Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you. So this morning, just quickly, we're in a few moments' time. Myself and Mark are going to log back onto Zoom for our second week of online fire starters. If you don't know what I'm talking about but would like to know more, please do email myself or Mark. Both our email addresses are on the notice sheet. And we would love to be able to pass you on the details of that so you can join with us. But first off this morning, has anyone helped or encouraged you this week? There are a few nods going around the room in here. I was certainly encouraged. I was encouraged at work just yesterday when my manager came and gave me a thank you card from a customer who wanted to thank me for all my help, which was really lovely because that's always nice. But how were you helped and how were you encouraged this week? Why don't you think about that for a few seconds? But God created us to need one another. We aren't meant to do challenging and hard things on our own. God wants us to help one another and to live life together. And when we do, we have lots of opportunities to be able to encourage one another and to help one another. And in our story today, we'll hear how God encouraged his people as they rebuilt and finished the temple. I've got my Lego here, and I must confess, my Lego is pretty poor because this is the extent of it. But have you ever built a sandcastle? Oh, I've just broken it. Have you ever built a sandcastle or a tower? And then, I don't know about you, but I've got siblings. Someone always comes along and manages to break it down into little pieces. And you can feel upset, hurt, angry. You might even lash out at your siblings and get yourself into trouble. But in today's story, we hear how hard it was for God's people to rebuild the temple. Imagine lifting all those heavy bricks and stones and putting them in just the right places. But the people were successful in building the temple. When they were struggling, God sent two prophets to encourage them. Through their encouragement, the people finished the job. Finishing a job is sometimes a lot harder than starting. Through trust and God's blessing, they did it though. And this morning, I would love for you to remember that when God asks you to do something, there will almost certainly be challenges and hard parts of that task. But God will also provide the resources and strength you need to do what he asks of you. And through trusting in God, like his people did, we too will be able to get the job done. So no matter how scary it might seem, face it, but face it with God. And through the encouragement of others and those around you. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you that you encourage us and that you are with us. We thank you that even as children, you can ask things of us. Lord, be with us this morning as we gather online for Sunday school, and be with the rest of our church family as they hear from your word as well. In your wonderful name, amen. Me and Mark are just going to go and log on now, and we're going to sing a song in here, You Call Me Out Upon the Waters.
We're continuing on in the book of Ezra this week, into Ezra chapter 6. King Darius then issued an order, and they searched in the archives stored in the treasury at Babylon. A scroll was found in the citadel of Ecbatana in the province of Media, and this was written on it: Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, the king issued a decree concerning the temple of God in Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt as a place to present sacrifices, and let its foundations be laid. It is to be 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide, with three courses of large stones and one of timbers. The costs are to be paid by the royal treasury. Also, the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, are to be returned to their places in the temple in Jerusalem. They are to be deposited in the house of God. Now then, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Buzanai, and you other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jew and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. Their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenue of Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil, as requested by the priest in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, a beam is to be pulled from their house, and they are to be impaled on it. And for this crime, their house is to be made a pile of rubble. May God, who has caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people who lifts a hand to change this decree or to destroy this temple in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out with diligence. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Buzanai and the associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiled, celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their groups for the service of God in Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the exiles, for their relatives, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbours in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God, the God of Israel. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word here. We thank you for that it speaks to us today. And we pray now for our brother Paul as he comes to speak your word. Fill him with the words you want him to speak, Lord. And let him speak your message to us now this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. Dear church, it's time to build. Not in bricks and mortar, but it is time for us to follow God's ways individually and collectively, and to build his church here, his body here. This morning we're going to continue, as Richard said, to look at that book of Ezra. We find ourselves in chapter 6. And incidentally, just to say, I want to thank Richard for bringing this book back to our attention once again. So many people have told me how much of a blessing it has been to be looking at this book at a time such as this. So thank you, Richard. And whilst we're going to look at Ezra chapter 6, to fully understand what's going on, we need to remind ourselves a little of what has happened to this group of Israelites, what they've gone through over the years that Ezra spans. At the very beginning of Ezra chapter 1, this nation find themselves in exile. And they've been in exile, it seems, for so long. Jeremiah reminds us 70 years. They've cried in prayer over their exile, over what had been. They cried to God, asking him, "When, Lord, will this end?" It must have felt somehow, for many of them, maybe for all of them, that God had somehow forgotten them. They had journeyed from a group of people over this period of time who seemed to have differing views to a group who were ready. All they needed was that rallying cry. Ezra reminds us that God had not forgotten them. He had searched the people, changed them, challenged them, and restored them. And here in chapter 6, he even uses a foreign ruler to fulfill his plans. Friends, if we are not careful, in the midst of a pandemic, we can easily forget something. We can forget what that group of Israelites learned, kind of in a nutshell. So here it is. This is what they actually learned throughout the whole of Ezra. God is still God. He is still in control. It's what they learned then. It's what this book speaks to us of now. So this morning, no matter how you may feel, no matter what set of circumstances you are facing in your life, I just want to say to you, God is still God. He is still in control. And if this morning you don't know him as your Lord and your Saviour, if you don't know your God, then I want to say to you, he's there for you. Open up your heart for him. Acknowledge his Son who came to die for you. Come and be in fellowship, in relationship with him. For he is still God. He is still in control. And no matter how much society praises scientists for producing a vaccine, we, dear church, should be praising our holy God. For he has made all things possible, Scripture says. He is still God. He's still in control. Now, over the past couple of weeks, as Richard has brought these words from Ezra, I've been pondering both what he's brought and that very fact. What does it mean in this time to say God is still in control when we find ourselves in the midst of a pandemic? And what does Ezra say to us about the position we find ourselves in? Well, I believe something, and I'm going to lay my heart on the line for you. I believe that this church has changed over the last year. pandemic aside, not meeting aside, God has met us all and changed and challenged us all. And more than that, the church as a whole has been asked to change, and indeed is being asked at this moment in time by our Lord to change more. We are being challenged at this moment to go not our way, but his way. And rather than do anything on our own, to seek his way, and once we know what that is, to have a resounding yes. In the midst of all that's going on, I believe with all my heart, I'm certain of it, that the Lord wants to restore this church, not to what it used to be, but what it is going to be and can become under him. In the midst of a pandemic, God is saying to us, to you and to me, to us as church family, whether you've ever been here or whether we've only ever known you online, I will show you my way. The Lord wants to build his church right here, and he wants to do it right now. And that sounds like a crazy thing to say. We could ask, how on earth will that happen until we can all meet again? But if the Lord builds now, then anything that is built cannot be of us. It must be of him. And he wants to build. And in my spirit, I feel the Lord wants to build his church here so that we will be ready for when we return. Not to build us when we return, but to make us ready. I have tried over the last couple of years to shake off something, and I cannot. And it's a spiritual prompting that I got the very first time I came here and preached with a peep, as we called it. And I still get today. I've never been able to escape the reality that God wants to do something here that is mighty, that he will move among us mightily if we just let him. And the challenge is not that he won't move. The challenge is that we're not letting him. He wants, to use the words of that song, to call us out upon the waters. To call us to simply fix our eyes on him, to remember his grace. When Peter walks upon the water to Jesus, it's not a story of water walking so much as it is a story of grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is what keeps Peter up. And when he forgets the grace, he starts to sink. Our Lord wants us to walk on the ocean, to go where he calls us, to go even where we thought we couldn't go, to rest in him. What an amazing thing to say as we walk on the waters of the ocean. The Lord requires, just wants us to rest. But if we do that, we will go deeper, individually, collectively, as a church, into his love than we ever thought possible. And that's a lesson that those Israelites learn in Ezra. As we heard from Richard over the past couple of weeks, our God is in the restoration business. The Israelites had laid foundation. By the time we read of the completion and dedication of the temple in Ezra chapter 6, much had happened and much time had elapsed. And I'm sure that from within this group of exiles, there would have been many a cry over many a year asking, why can't we get on with it now? Indeed, why do I believe that God is asking us at NBC to build the people church here now? Why not 2 years ago when I first came to Minehead? It may be fanciful of me. You can decide. And you can certainly decide for yourself, but more particularly for us. But it's taken those 2 years to bring us together as a church to a point of unity. And God alone has done that. Not me, not any clever words from anyone in this church. God has brought us to a united point. Why not before? because however dramatic it might sound, we've been waiting for God to tell us when. And the very known moment we know we have a sense of unity, God says, now. And that's why I sense now in the midst of a pandemic. So why does he do that? Why in the book of Ezra does he ask this group of exiles to wait? And why ask us to wait until this point? I believe it's for one very important reason. In the book of Ezra, we meet a group who are now united, determined by chapter 6, eager, waiting for God to say go. And here in Minehead, I believe we are united, determined and eager. And we've waited for God to say go. In both cases, God did and is doing something amazing. He adds the one thing that 2 years ago would not have been possible here. Hope. Hope that what we do is not just building for now, building church for now, but for future generations, but more particularly, but is for his glory. Hope that we can do whatever he requires of us together, rather than letting it tear us apart. Hope that this is part of his purposes and his plans. And throughout lockdown, week by week by week by week, what I have personally seen preached from this lectern in all of your comments, in the fact we're watching together and we pray daily at 10 o'clock, is hope. Romans 15 verse 4 says this: for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Friends, we have endured, we are encouraged, and we have hope. Dodging back in the book of Ezra to Ezra chapter 1 verse 4 reminds us why hope is so important. Reclaiming and rebuilding the homeland as Israel returned from exile involved the spiritual duty of rebuilding the house of God. Without the hope of God, that would not have been possible. They had an amazing sense of hope that God will do what God said he will do. And bluntly, the book of Ezra reminds us that he did it. And without the hope of God, in the midst of whatever we decide to do, with the church, with the pastorate, with any aspect of our being together, nothing will happen. Because however awesome it might seem, we're called together to seek out, to discern the mind of Christ in all that we do here. And written, sown into that reality is hope. Now, Richard reminded us something about Ezra chapter 3. Well, Ezra 3 verse 10 to chapter 4 verse 4. He kind of reminded us over a couple of weeks, if you see what I mean. He reminds us that the foundations have been laid in that text. They were rejoicing together. The young Levites and the young builders praised God and gave thanks. The old Levites and the elders remembered the former temple and wept. In the midst of the foundations, they recognized that genuine worship involved rejoicing in the purposes and the goodness of God. Here, the cause of rejoicing in Ezra chapter 6 was the fulfillment of the plans of God in the rebuilding of the temple. And the reality was and is that both the rejoicing and the actual service of rebuilding were and are acts of worship. What does the Lord require of you? To worship him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all you are. It's that same spirit of rejoicing that Paul picks up on in his letter to the Philippians, and it is in our scripture for 2021. It's what everyone as far as we could work out, that we knew of in this church, we sent you a Christmas card. And that Christmas card was sent out this year, in 2020, and in it is a verse. It's our scripture for 2021, or verses, rather. They come from Philippians chapter 4, but the first few words of our scripture for the year say all we need to know about rejoicing and worshipping when it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. But all of that, friends, comes with a warning. A warning that we need to hear, to understand, and to take heed of. Because in Ezra chapter 4, we acknowledge that this group of Israelites have a temptation that's put before them and was designed to stop them and is put before you and I. It is this, that we simply stop following God's ways and follow man's. Or we might say, leave the narrow path and take the broad way. Friends, looking back on it, the choice they faced was their way, not God's way. And we need to remember something. God's ways are not our ways. We need to commit ourselves to seeking him at all times and in every way. Now, the good news is, from my perspective, I cannot tell you, and I do not know, what will happen here over the next few years. But one thing I do know is that we must follow God's way for the spiritual life of this church, for his church here, for the building up of all his people. Nothing less and nothing else will do. Following God's way leads us to glorifying him. Going our own way means that we get exactly what we deserve, discouragement and fear. But it also means delay. If you turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 2 to 9, you discover that the work on the temple has made little progress. Not because of the opposition, but not just rather because of the opposition, but also because those returning had become preoccupied with their own hopes in rebuilding them first. What does that say to us here in Minehead in 2021? Friends, I'd like to suggest it speaks to our priorities. It's my amazing privilege from time to time to speak to various people from around the country. I was speaking to a friend a few weeks ago who was saying how fed up about the lockdown they were. They have medical issues and they had spent much time in isolation. So I asked them how they were coping. They said relatively well. In fact, they astonished me because they'd said they'd learnt to play the clarinet. Maybe you've done something similar. And that actually proved to be rather a good thing. When inadvertently, one day when they were putting out their bins, I think, the next door neighbour had been in their garden and shouted across that they were fine with the fact that this person had been practicing the clarinet and getting better day by day by day. To quote the exact words of the neighbour, quote, at least once a day we know you're alive. Now, the reason for ringing me was that somehow during this time, God had become more distant than he was before. And they rang me saying they'd welcome my wisdom. Well, after a discussion about what wisdom did I have, I asked them whether across this time of lockdown they had spent time with God in prayer and in reading his word in scripture. Not so much was their words. And in their own words, the more distant he became, the harder it seemed to become to read scripture and pray, and the less they read scripture and prayed, the more distant he became. We decided together, this was a few weeks ago as I say, that what they needed to do was to reprioritise. And they agreed. So they took up a challenge. This person from well away now joins us every day for prayers at 10, albeit that they watch later in the day than 10 o'clock. And they're reading scripture more. They have reprioritised things. to the extent, and this is how I know the story because they've rung me and updated me, that the other day the neighbour knocked on the door to make sure they were okay because they hadn't heard the clarinet. Now, there's nothing wrong with learning to play the clarinet or with anything else you may have done in lockdown, but there is everything wrong when it stands in the way of our drawing close to God. Whilst I suspect not many of you have learnt to play a clarinet during this period, if you have, let us know, that would be amazing. But I wonder, what has, for many of you, got in the way of you drawing closer to God in this past year? There may well be several bumps along the road as we rebuild, but let us not lose heart. Let us recognise that which God puts in front of us. From Ezra 4 to Ezra 6 would be 20 years, and it would be 20 years before they started rebuilding again, until, as we read, this temple in Ezra 6, 14 to 16 is completed. 20 years from the building of the foundation to the start of the wall being put up. 20 years when many of those younger men become older men. 20 years when many of the older people had died. 20 years when the tears cried over the former glory of what had been and what could be would seem wasted. 20 years when those exiles, whilst they didn't turn their back on God completely, most definitely put God on the back burner. And there is a lesson for us here, a warning, dear church, because it's true. Let me remind you unequivocally, God does not do back burners. If only they remembered their history. If only they'd remembered that the temple in their own history had been destroyed twice by this point. They should have also remembered, looking back, that God made way for something better every time it was destroyed. It can hurt, can't it, when we look at ourselves and see the need for change. But change we must. The church here will not look the same tomorrow as it does today. And when we regather again, all able to worship our Lord, it will not be the same as it was when we entered lockdown. That's back last March. And it won't be the same as it is today. It's the way it's always been in God's economy. The way it's always been here. I remember at the service of welcome that was held here for myself and Lorraine, our friend Gary came, if you remember, and gave the word. And we were standing literally over there. I'm pointing to the door, park's entrance door, for those of you that are on the CD. And we lined up for a newspaper photo with a few other people. As was commented at the time, we looked a bit like a defensive wall facing a free kick. And I remember him leaning over to me and saying, "You can sense the potential of what God might do here." I agree with Gary. You can sense the potential of what God might do here. And I would say, dear church, he says, and I'm going to do it now. And whilst I'm not sure what God's going to deliver in the next year, 5 years or 20 years here, I will declare this morning, and I will invite you to declare, his way, not our way. Because to end with, there is one thing I do know, friends. Now is the time to build the body, his body, called the church, up here. And as that song Oceans reminded us early, in order to walk on the water, in order to make that a reality, we need to start and we need to call upon his name. So let's do that right now. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that you call us out upon the water to go beyond the reality of what we dream or imagine, what we thought was possible. But we can only do that when we rely upon you, when we call on your name and say, Lord Jesus, come. By the power of your Holy Spirit, by the grace you have shown on the world, by the grace you've shown to each of us, come, invade our lives, and come and take your place on the throne of our hearts. We call upon you, Lord. We call upon you to move us and to mould us and to make us into what you want us to be. Lord, today we want to get out of the boat and we want to walk on the water. And we know to do that, we have not to pay attention to the water. We've got to keep our eyes fixed upon you, upon the reality of who you are, upon your grace, and upon the truth that you came for us. So let us this morning, Lord, fix our eyes with certainty upon you, to step over the side and to walk across the ocean, safe in the knowledge that we are held up, not by the physics of the water, but by the grace of the Saviour. Lord, we call upon your name. We call upon your name and we say, build your church here. No matter what, thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. The reality is that nothing that we can do here has any value unless the Lord directs it. And we acknowledge the reality of our final worship song. It is only because we can say, in Christ alone. Friends, it's right that we finish with a prayer, an action that I'm going to invite you to take that talks about our response to what the Lord has said to you. If this morning you have, for the first time, accepted the Lord into your life, if the Lord has spoken to you this morning in any way through the worship or the word or the Bible reading or the prayers or through Millie's talk, it's good sometimes that we're challenged to respond to the Lord. You've just sung some amazing words that finish with a line, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. So I invite you, I'm going to read those words over you as a blessing this morning, the words of the last verse of In Christ Alone. And as I do so, if the Lord has spoken to you wherever you are, I invite you to stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck you from his hands. Till he returns or he calls you home, may you in the power of Christ stand. Father, thank you for the reality of that worship song and the reality of that prayer in our lives. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you this moment and throughout this coming week his peace. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.